Be with our brother Jerry tonight. I know it is his desire to serve us and to serve the Lord. And I know he has went to the Lord and prepared himself. I ask for your prayers, our brother Jerry.
Good evening and thank you for coming. I hope you'll bear with me tonight. Is that too loud? The message I have for you this evening is one that's been on my heart for the past few weeks. And I hope you'll understand what I'm trying to bring forth. This is a continuation of one I presented to you 11 months ago. And it's from the 38th chapter of Ezekiel. But with the happenings in the world today, as I've watched them develop, I felt it necessary to put this together and to bring to you tonight. In Luke 12, verses 54 through 56, Christ rebuked his disciples and the people around him at that time. He said, you cannot discern the times of nature. You can discern the times of nature, but we fail to discern the warnings of the prophets. And I have foreseen, at least in my readings and studyings, of the prophecy coming forth in the what is called in a book that I read, the epicenter of potential problems for the world, and that is Israel. When God plans on something, plans on a major move, he always warns us through his prophets. Amos 3:7 says, God has given his people many signs and warnings through his prophets, and we fail to heed them. The study of the prophets are difficult for us to understand. They are for me, and I have to use a lot of helps, and I draw from these helps from different sources. Some of them are probably not as timely as they should be. And this was brought to me, to my knowledge, a couple of years ago when I was referred to a book that had been published entitled Epicenter by Joel Rosenberg. And it talks about the nation of Israel and the prophecy of Ezekiel. We know of 37 of the, talking about drawing the nation of Israel back together, and it refers to the Valley of Dry Bones. When I read that, I had to reminisce a little bit about my time in high school when I sang in a barbershop quartet, and one of the songs we liked to sing was Dry Bones. But at the time, I didn't realize what the meaning of it was. And after studying, I see what he was talking about. Back then, it was just kind of a difficult song for us to sing, but we enjoyed it. But in watching what's going on in the world in relation to our nation, in relation to the scriptures and the prophecies of the ancient prophets, I felt it necessary to bring forth some ideas for you that are a continuation of what I brought in the first session that I did, which was in May of last year. And I will reference some of these things and like for you to, when you have an opportunity to read them in length, in Ezekiel 38 And actually, it continues on into 39, which tells you about what happens after the battle of Gog and Magog. It's something that we need to be aware of because it's very easily can happen in our day. We talk about the end times, and we've heard a lot of sermons about that time in the last few months. But it's something I think we need to expound on as much as possible because it's very imminent to us that this could come to pass in our lifetime. And as things occur and as things transpire, especially in the Middle East, we see this prophecy unfolding before our eyes. And we need to be aware of what it tells us. It's something that we need to be praying about. Are we listening? Are we aware of what Ezekiel, for example, was trying to tell us? Everything I have read so far in this passage regarding this battle is builds upon what this was brought to me in this book. And it helped me clarify a lot of the things that I didn't understand. When it talks about the tribes and the nations that are coming together, these are all the grandsons of Noah that led these nations and founded them. These nations have become very Islamic now. And they are a very present danger to us. We see things happening in the world, and sometimes we don't think, we think, well, that's way over there, and it doesn't affect us. But it does affect us, and it will affect us. And we need to be aware of our status in this world because it's shrinking. It's becoming smaller and smaller all the time. I can remember growing up, I thought Egypt, my goodness, it's way beyond my reach. But people travel there all the time, or they did. I thought about Israel as I studied the Bible, and it was a place on the other side of the world that didn't have anything to do with me. But as I studied over the years, especially the last few years, I see that it has a lot to do with me and my life and my family and your family and our life the way we know it today. I'd like to read just the first few verses of the 38th chapter of Ezekiel. Says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief priest of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief priest of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine arms, horses, and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Now, Ezekiel didn't see things and describe things that we know today. He couldn't possibly have. But God gave him a vision, and he talked about these nations preparing for battle, for war, and being fully armed. In this book, which I read, as I read through it, I found more and more information that led me to see what he was talking about, how it's applied to today's world. He was speaking of chariots in his frame of reference in those days. We think of them today as tanks and armored personnel carriers. Speaking of swords, we think of them as rifles, machine guns, rockets. And they're real in our life. I hate to bring this to you on an Easter Sunday evening, but I just felt it needed to be brought. To finish up what I started when I gave this sermon back last May. I would like to recommend, and I don't do this often, would like to recommend this book that I'm talking about as a great point of reference for you to read. I think it will help open your eyes. It's not the total answer. He doesn't have all the answers. I know that. But he gives us an eye-opener as to our world today. In the book, he talks about, in 1982, the Israeli Prime Minister announced that a massive weapons seizure in Lebanon of Russian weapons, enough to support at least 5 Russian combat brigades, was found by his troops. It took 10 one-ton trucks running day and night for 6 weeks to haul the weapons back to Israel. Now, I know 1982 sounds like a long time back, and in our references today, it is quite a while. But in the references that Ezekiel has brought, they don't limit time like we do. He sees farther into the future. Sometime after this seizure of weapons, another was made by Israeli troops in Lebanon, in which they netted enough weapons for 5 or 6 combat divisions. All these weapons were made in Russia and Czechoslovakia. Within the last month and a half, Israeli commandos have seized a cargo ship loaded with weapons headed for Gaza. 2 weeks ago, the Israelis suffered a rocket attack on a school bus in their country, fired from the Gaza Strip. Injured several children. I never did hear if any were killed. But we see these things beginning to gel together and come together. That's the fulfillment, I think, of what Ezekiel was trying to tell us. When we see the unrest in the countries over there, as I've been able to discern what I can out of reports that are coming, what I've read, I know each of those countries was headed by a ruler that was not at least savory in our eyes. And it appears like a lot of the people are wanting freedom. They want to get out from under the rule of a dictator. But I can't help but think that this is not just a random action from country to country. It appears to me to be orchestrated like a bunch of falling dominoes running from one country to the rest across North Africa. And I foresee this happening, if they're successful in removing these dictators, I see that we'll have very possibly one large Islamic nation under the tutelage of Iran. And the reason I bring this forth is when Ezekiel speaks of these people that are going to rise up against Israel, Iran is one of the major countries of leadership involved. But it's all backed by Russia. I'm not the one that believes in scare tactics, but I believe in what I see and am able to put together. And after reading this scripture, I think it's something that we need to be aware of, because it's going to affect our lives here in this country. How many churches in our city, in our country today, are preaching this kind of a gospel? How many of them tell us that these things are going on? I would venture to say very few. Because I'm sure that a lot of the people that hear this would be not feeling too good about what their pastor is telling them. And most of the churches are geared drawing people in and keeping people coming and keeping the coffers full. I know there are a lot of facts that I don't have, and I probably never will have in my lifetime. But I know that I felt strongly when Vic asked me to preach this past week, that this is something I wanted to bring to you to help you maybe to understand the happenings in the world and how it affects us. We have a problem on our southern border, and it's not just with the Mexicans coming in, but it's with people from Yemen and some of the North African countries that have come through Mexico and been smuggled into the United States. Many of them have never been found. These are the people that I suspect will possibly create problems and havoc in this country. President Ahmadinejad of Iran, when he was elected the first time, said that he felt like he was the channel through which the great Imam would come. And he was sent here to bring that about. He refers to the United States as the great Satan and Israel as the little Satan. If we watch what's going on, we see that they are making many contacts in and around South America, Cuba. Hugo Chavez is one of his most favorite people. And he's also real tight with Russia. These are things that I would like for you to be aware of. These are things that I see. And as they unfold, I see, and I don't like to be a conspiracy theorist, but I don't believe in that. I'm just seeing what, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. You start putting it together, and then when you find a piece that finally fits, add another, and you see a little bit more coming to fruition until such time as you get it completed. I don't know when it'll be completed. I don't know when this is going to happen. But I know in reading this passage from Ezekiel and going on into 39, which tells us about the aftermath after the battle, which, as I've read it, the battle is going to be basically against Israel, but there will be some probably against the United States because we see tentacles of that coming here now. Because they don't like us any better than they do Israel, and they're all sworn to destroy the nation of Israel. Egypt, for example, has been a favorite partner of Israel for several years. But once Mubarak was out, now the people are hollering for Israel to be destroyed. And things are changing rapidly. And the nation of Israel and the United States are connected like this. We need them and they need us. But we've got to see the hidden prophecies or the written prophecies that are there and apply them to our lives today. And it's something that we need to pray about every day. Not only for our lives and our health and our welfare, but what can happen to this nation from the outside that can affect us within our lifetime. Some of you have probably longer lifetimes than I will, but within your lifetime, we may see this come to fruition. None of us knows when, none of us knows how. But if we believe the scriptures and we believe the prophets, we've got to believe that, yes, it is coming. Because God sent his prophets to tell us. And it's taken many, many hundreds of years for people to decipher the writings of such prophets as Ezekiel and Daniel. But we need to remember that he has spoken to us, and before something large happens, he will let us know. We've been warned, but I think he'll let us know again. And I think that he will, as he said before, if we stay true to his teachings, if we follow his will, He will protect this nation. We feel like this is a nation that God has given us to live in and to manage and to build. And it's been very successful. But how much longer can it stay successful in the way it's going now? How much longer can we as Christians ignore the writings of the gospel, the writings of the scriptures and the prophets? Because he's also told us that if we don't, we can lose this country. And none of us want that. I pray that you will read this scripture, the whole passage of chapter 38 and into 39, and try to understand what I'm telling you this evening and how it might fit. I had a difficult time with it. I read the book twice. I read the scriptures numerous times. I read several other writers of that in a couple of commentaries I've got, some other articles, and they all seem to agree on what was contained in this book and the potential outcome that's involved for us in this life. And I think we need to be aware of that. There's an old saying that life is not a bed of roses. And it pretty much has been for us in this world, in the United States, since it was incepted. It's been hard getting there, but we have a great country. And we don't want to lose it. I feel that when this happens, I'm not going to say if, but when this happens, it will be the beginning of the end times. Because in the end of Ezekiel 38, it tells that after this battle is over, there will be a time when a nation of Israel will be able to recover. It mentions nothing about any other nation involved with them. That doesn't mean they won't be. It just means that maybe he didn't foresee that aspect of it. I won't keep you very long tonight because this is what I wanted to bring to you. I wanted you to think about these things. And we see in the scriptures, they're constantly telling us to watch and be prepared. All through the scriptures, we need to watch and be prepared. We need to understand how something on the other side of the world might affect us. Our missionaries, I know, that travel around the world see a lot more of it than we do. As they travel, they're able to discern some of the things that are happening and how it can affect them, affect us. And I pray that you will be ever watchful and ever vigilant as you watch what's happening around you, what's happening around the world, and try to follow it in the Bible. Thank you for your time.